Hello and welcome to the Celebration Church podcast. We're so glad you're joining us for this message. For more information on Celebration Church or to give online, visit us at celebrationedmonton.com. We hope you enjoy this message.
Well, let's get right into the word if you want to follow along in your notes. 1 Peter chapter 3 reads this. This way it says, for the scripture says, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days. What a great statement. Enjoy life and see many happy days. I don't think we'd have any disagreement about that. Keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. You know, the second part of that verse and the second part of that promise is pretty straightforward. Turn from evil and do good. It's about making right choices. You want to have a great life. You want to have many happy days and enjoy life. Just make some right choices with your life. Continue to make right choices. And then again, it follows up with search for peace, work to maintain it. You know, just learn to get along with people. If we learn to make right choices and get along with people, those are two great things that will help our life. But I don't want us to overlook so quickly the fact that the very first part talks about something completely different. And it could have said so many different things. I think the writer could have wrote and been inspired by God to say, if you want to have a life where you see many happy days and you want to have a life where you enjoy life, it's all about who you marry. I'm just saying, I'm just throwing out some suggestions. Could have said, it's all about the choice of your career. It's all about healthy living. It's all about where you choose to live. Well, we've proven that wrong. In Jesus' name. It's all about money. It's all about the people that you let get close to you. It's all about having the right ambitions and dreams in your life. It's all about your vision. It's all about the purposes of God. It's all about your relationship with Jesus. But instead, what's he say? It's all about what's going on with your mouth. It's all about what's coming out of your mouth. It's about the need to watch your words. The ultimate determining factor for the kind of life that you're going to have is actually found in the words that are coming out of your mouth. Because the truth of the matter is you could take that list I just gave you and have the best of all of that happening and still not have a happy life. And still be a person who's discontent, still be a person who's miserable in the midst of perfect circumstance. But the quality of your life is actually determined by the choice of your words. Proverbs chapter 18 and 21 says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Think about that. Life and death. Death and life are actually found in what's coming out of your mouth. And the scripture says that you're actually eating the fruit of things that you have said in your past. That's a strong statement about the power of your words, isn't it? I mean, it's a really strong statement about the power of your words. Just consider for a moment with me, if you would, the power of your words. The power of your words. Your words actually have the power of salvation. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you'll be saved. So your words have the power to release salvation, to release forgiveness, and to receive salvation into your life. Your words have the power of healing. The scripture says that the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick. Your words can contain the power of healing in your life just because of what you say. Your words have the power of wisdom. The scripture says if you lack wisdom, just to ask of God and he'll give it to you generously. Your words have the power of wisdom. You know, your words have the power of encouragement. We've all been the recipient of and maybe the giver of an encouraging word. Just something that gets spoken over your life or something that you spoke over somebody else that lifted their spirit. For that matter, something that you said to yourself that lifted your own spirit. Your words have the power of faith. The scripture says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Well, you can be speaking the word of God and literally build faith inside of your own life. You can be speaking the promises of God and see faith in your own heart. Grow. Your words have the power a building up one another, the scripture says. In other words, taking somebody who's at one place and lifting them to another place because of the things that you speak over them. That's the power of your words, the power to build somebody's life. Your words have the power of confidence. That, you know, as you just speak to yourself about God's promises and just speak to yourself about what you're going to do and the fact that you're believing that God's going to help you through whatever it is you're dealing with, that you can literally build confidence in your own heart through not what somebody else said to you, but through what you said to you. What you said to you has the power of, you know, your words have the power of victory. They have the power of victory. Jesus said, if you would say to a mountain to be picked up and cast into a sea, believing in your heart, not doubting, it would be moved. Your words have the power of victory, of speaking victory into your life and speaking change into your circumstances. Your words have the power of permission. It's with your words that you say yes to things, and it's with your words that you say no to things. It's just a word, but you can give the power of permission that causes a direction to come into your life that can be a tremendous door of opportunity and blessing, and obviously it could be the opposite. But your words have the power of permission. They have the power of protection. When you say no, there's certain things I need to say no to. That's one of them. I'm going to say no. Why? Because I'm exercising the power of protection through my words by saying no. So that's the life side of this. It's a tremendous, tremendous thing that we can do in our lives to build life into our world and to bless our world just because of the power of our words. But the scripture also says that there's a death side to this. You know, in fact, much sin comes directly from what we say, not what we do. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19 says that when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Well, just think about the many ways that we can sin, the many ways that we can mess up with just a word. Just a word. The Bible's got so many descriptions of ways that we can mess up with just a word. For instance, gossip or slander or lying or judging. Or criticizing, or my favorite, complaining. Don't look at me so self-righteous. You've done it too. How about condemning? You know, just speaking words that put an end to things. Blasphemy, dishonor, words of dishonor, words of cynicism, or accusing, or profanity, all of those sorts of things, you know. In so many ways that we can, just through our words, that we can mess up. Speaking of profanity, I heard about a fellow who was out at a yard sale, because it's yard sale season, isn't it? See the signs everywhere, and he decided he wanted to buy a lawnmower. And so he's buying this lawnmower off this yard sale, and there's just a little kid running the yard sale, and he said, well, I better get this thing going first. And so he tries, and it wouldn't start. And he said, I just bought your lawnmower, it won't start. He said, well, sir, you have to cuss at it to get it going. He said, well, I've been a Christian for 15 years. I don't think I can even remember how to do that. He said, you keep pulling, it'll all come back to you. People clapping own that lawnmower, don't they? All right. Well, often those words that the scripture says, listen, these are considered sin. This is wrong. We shouldn't be talking this way. Do bring death into our life, and typically in the area of relationships. In the area of relationships, they can create separation or mistrust or hurt feelings. But then there's other words that we speak over our life that aren't sin necessarily, but they're still destructive. Words like excuses, words of doubt and unbelief, you know, words of negativity and words of quitting, words of limitation and defeat. None of those words might necessarily be sin per se, but they're still death, because usually when we're using those words, we're bringing death to a vision. We're bringing death to our potential, maybe even to the possibilities and opportunities that God might actually want us to say yes to. But our negative words are saying no to something that he wants in our life. Our words have the capacity to create peace in our life, Our words have the capacity to create stress in our life. We can literally create the atmosphere that we live in through our words. We can create fear. We can create anxiety and worry. We can create frustration, strife, discouragement, panic, anger. All of those things can be created just by what's coming out of our mouths. There's another destructive aspect to our words, and that is when our words become an argument. Two people fighting over their ideas and stressing out and exchanging words negatively over an argument. From an article that I read called How Words Affect the Brain, Margie Mitchum, who's quoting Newberg and Waldman, a couple of psychologists, says this. She said, angry words send alarm messages through the brain. They particularly shut down the logic and reasoning centers located in the frontal lobes. Angry words can actually shut down, can actually have a negative effect on your ability to use logic, and to exercise reason. Have you ever heard an argument that sounded unreasonable? Couples do it all the time. It's like, after a while, it's like, what are we fighting over? I don't know. Well, then just lower our voices. You ever been in a heated discussion, an argument, and you said something that you regret? All right, be silent if you want. That's fine. Sure we do. And it's because of the negative impact of the heat of the moment, of angry words. And now we're not thinking straight, and it's having that effect on us. And we say something, and when we apologize later, it usually goes like this. I'm sorry. I wasn't thinking right. Yeah. I wasn't thinking straight. You know, stress in your life may not simply be a circumstance, but could actually be something that you create through your words. Wow. It could just be what's coming out of your mouth. The circumstance could actually be quite minimal, but you could actually talk it into a very stressful situation, something that's really just hard on you physically because of the words that come out of your mouth. In the same way, you can be in a stressful circumstance and have words that bring peace in the midst of a stressful circumstance. You can be in a stressful circumstance and have words that minister hope and calm and happiness and all of these things. From the book, Words Can Change Your Brain, Andrew Newberg, MD, says this: a single word has the power to influence the expression of genes that regulate physical and emotional stress. In other words, science is catching up with Scripture and proving Scripture. When Scripture says, you know, life and death is in the power of the tongue. And here he's saying, listen, you can just say a single word that can just bring stress into people's lives. It can literally affect them physically. Our words have such a powerful impact into our life. What's coming out of your mouth can actually be fueling stress, or it can be creating peace. That's why Proverbs 25:11 says, like apples of gold and settings of silver, listen, is a word spoken in right circumstances. Is a word. Not necessarily a paragraph, not a dissertation, but you can just speak a word into the right circumstance, and it can be so meaningful, so impacting. Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath. But look at this, a harsh word stirs up anger. Just one harsh word can stir up anger and emotion and all of these things. When we consider the power of our words, that's why James talks about it so much in James chapter 3. And it totally makes sense when you consider the context of the power of our words. Let's have a look at this together. James chapter 3 and verse 2. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put bits into the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body. It sets on fire the course of our life, the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. Since our words are so powerful, since our words are so influential in our lives, since our words are going to determine the ability to enjoy life and see many happy days. I don't know about you, but I'm of that vintage where I can't say the word happy days without an image of the fawns and the music and happy days, da da da, happy days. Any rate, that still sounds like a good thing to go for. So let's talk about three things we can do with our words that will help us enjoy life and see many happy days. Here we go. First one, make it your habit to speak faith into every circumstance of life. Just develop a habit in your world of speaking faith into every circumstance of life. It's so easy not to. It's so easy just to complain. It's so easy just to speak negativity. It's so easy just to agree with the situation and say, well, this sucks. You know, it's just so easy to do that, isn't it? But learn to speak faith into every circumstance of life. This is how we overcome complaining. Complaining is simply agreeing that things will never get better. It's really all it is. Faith is believing God for the best and for his promises to come through on your behalf while you persevere with patience. You know, Numbers chapter 13, while they're entering the promised land, Israel's going into its promised land. They send in 12 spies to spy out the land, check it out. 10 of them were complaining, coming back, talking about all the problems and the obstacles and the enemies and how difficult it would be. But you know, 2 of them came back and were speaking faith into the circumstance. And you need to know that those 2 were not deaf and were not blind. They could see everything that the other 10 were. They just had a completely different response, which was a choice to speak faith into the circumstance, a choice to not just admonish the fact that there's and acknowledge that there's enemies and giants and problems and all the rest, but instead to speak, you know what, our God is able to give us a victory in this situation. We can see this turn around. We can accomplish this. This is a good land, just like he said. We can have it. Now, of course, they weren't in denial that there wasn't problems. You don't have to be in denial to be in faith. That's just silly. Oh, let's just pretend there's no giants. You're going to get clobbered. You're going to get clobbered, okay? There are giants. There are. How many know something? If you're trying to advance something in your life, you've got obstacles. Happens all the time. You're trying to buy your first house, and you found out there's obstacles. Oh, yeah. It's called getting along with the B-A-N-K. And getting them on your side. Maybe there's other obstacles, I don't know. But the point of the matter is we don't deny there's giants. We just believe that God can help us triumph in every situation of life. And so they declared, hey, God is able to give us the land. They declared it was exceedingly good. They didn't jump on the bandwagon, you know, of a room full of critics and cynics and negativity and complaining. And we've got to watch for this in our life too. Don't be a person who just jumps into the, well, you know, I'm just here with the 2 and 10 are having a conversation and it might feel more comfortable just to jump in with the 10 and be another negative person on the job or in the lunchroom or maybe at the soccer game with your kids with all the other parents who are complaining about something or for that matter, it could even happen in a church. Watch the circle of friends and family that you're around. And don't join in with the complainers. People of faith speak what can be, not what is. Think about moments in Scripture when faith was spoken over circumstances and situations. I think about Jairus who, you know, his daughter's sick. He's sending for Jesus. Somebody comes along and says, don't bother. She's already died. What did Jesus do? He turns to him and he says, don't you fear. You just keep believing. And spoke faith into the circumstance. I think about the woman with the issue of blood who'd had years and years and years of going to a doctor and Jesus is walking by. And what is she doing? She's saying, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. That's what she was thinking to herself. She was speaking faith into the circumstance. If I could just touch the hem of his garment. How about when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I dare you to spell it right, were thrown into a fiery furnace. and then spoke about how God would deliver them. You know, they're getting thrown into a furnace. They're getting persecuted for their faith and their walk with God. And they said, our God is able to deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we're not compromising. How about the Apostle Paul, who said, I've done ministry with abundance. I've done ministry with lack. And then he says this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's just speaking faith into the circumstances. It was the same Apostle Paul who said, rejoice in the Lord, rejoice always. He wrote that from a prison. And it wasn't five-star room service, HBO, little bottles of water in the fridge kind of place either. It was even worse than when you go camping. There you go. I don't know why we do that. Spend 50 weeks of the year working so we can go live in a bag. It's craziness. Then come back, tell our friends we had a great time. Funny thing is, we do. It works. Okay, here's the second thing. Make prayer your response in all things. Here's another way to get your words working for you instead of against you. Make prayer your response in all things. Just think about what prayer does for you. Not just the fact that you're asking God to move on your behalf, but just consider with me for a moment the nature of prayer. When was the last time that you prayed and you asked God to reduce your life? You know, when was the last time that you went into prayer and you said, Lord, I just wish I could make less money. I pray you'd help me find an older car, more miles on it. If you could just give me a smaller house to live in, Lord, if you could just give me a demotion at work, that'd be awesome. And in Jesus' name, amen. Well, never would you ever pray like that. In fact, you don't even pray that things remain the same. Every time you go into prayer, prayer is always positioning your life in a growth mode. Prayer is always about positioning your life to move forward with what God has for you. It causes you to speak vision. It causes you to speak increase. It causes you to speak success and improvement and those sorts of things. Prayer turns your attention off of just what you can do, but onto what God can do for you, and reaches out for the promises of God to get activated into your life. And if your response to everything in life is prayer, then you're always using the power of your words for a godly purpose. If that's your response, if you're always doing what the scripture says and in all things pray, then you're always going to use your words for a godly purpose. Sometimes we can open up to God about our struggles and we can open up about our disappointments. David did so in the Psalms, and he expressed all of that and got all of that out of his heart, but he didn't stay in a place of disappointment and frustration. And not every prayer meeting that David had with the Lord was, okay, God, here's what's bugging me today. But he moved on to expectation and moved on to hope and praising God and the good things that he was going to see God do in his life. Is it any wonder that the scripture tells us that we should pray at all times. Pray without ceasing. Pray over all things. Prayer is how the power of your words releases the power of God into your circumstance of life. And as basic as it is, it's amazing how easy it is to forget it, isn't it? It's just so easy to be doing life and solving problems and kind of carrying the burden all by ourselves instead of just pausing for a moment and saying, I need to pray over this. God, would you just help me with this? Just to stop for a moment and just declare God's hand, declare his provision, declare his wisdom, just to allow prayer to engage God in your life and to see things change because of the fact that you stopped and spoke his word over your life. Rather than holding on to frustration and disappointment, rather than you just trying to figure it all out by yourself, begin to pray in such a way that you actually paint a completely different picture of your life. That you paint a picture that says, I'm not on my own. I'm not just sitting here with my struggles. God is working with me. His hand is on me. He's going to advance me. Things are about to change. Mark 11, 23 through 24 says, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it'll be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Prayer is how we affect real change into our lives, speaking the promises of God in the midst of the problems of life. You know, speaking the problems doesn't change. It's speaking the promises that brings change. Anybody can speak the problems. You ever have people come up to you, oh, there's a problem. And you're like, genius. That's easy. Finding problems is easy. Having faith for solutions is different. That's different. That takes some energy. That takes some effort. But that's what makes the difference. Okay, here's the third thing that you can do. Third thing you can do that'll help you use your words for happy days. Talk about your vision, not your limitation. Just keep talking about your vision, not your limitation. I'm telling you, this truth, this is worth your tithe for the next month or two. I'm telling you, this will change your life. I'm just encouraging tithing. I'm not really trying to manipulate anything here. Listen, when God called a man by the name of Jeremiah to be a prophet, he went through this whole deal right here. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Let's read it together. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. In other words, God's already figured out who you are and what you're going to do. Hello. Not just him, you. Okay? I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. There's your deal. This is what you're going to do. Then I said, we always have a response to what God says, don't we? And sometimes it's not good. Then I said, alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak because I am a youth. But the Lord said, thank God the Lord said after I said, but the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go. And all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I'm with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. When God called Jeremiah and gave him this opportunity, this destiny for his life, his first response was to talk to God about his limitations. Okay, we got a problem here. I'm young, I don't know how to talk. I think prophets should be old and know how to talk. I think you got the wrong guy. We got a problem here. He starts talking about his limitations. He starts talking about why he shouldn't be able to accomplish the very thing that God was asking him to do, as though God was somehow clueless about his limitations when he asked him to do it in the first place. What was he doing? Speaking his limitations. And if he'd have kept speaking his limitations, he would have talked himself out of his opportunity, out of his destiny, out of his potential. When you keep speaking about your limitations, why you can't, why you won't, why it won't work, you will keep yourself from your destiny. You will keep yourself from your potential. You will keep yourself from being a Connect Group leader. You will keep yourself from stepping out and serving in the house. You will keep yourself from stepping up and leading in some dimension of ministry in the house. Come on. You will keep yourself from sharing Jesus at work. When you keep talking your limitation, you will talk yourself out of your destiny, out of what God can do in your world. And immediately God says, do not say. In other words, shut up. I am just a youth. Stop speaking about your limitation. Start speaking about the vision. What's the vision? Everywhere I send you, you shall go. That's the first part. Everywhere I send you, you should go. You know, you need to start talking about the fact that because of Jesus, your life is going places. Everywhere he sends you, you shall go. You're going places. Your career is going places. Your marriage is going places, and they're good places. Your family's going places. There's a promotion coming your way. Why? Because God's about to send you into something new. Maybe it's about a new home and a new neighborhood for your life. Maybe it's about growth and development in your own personal life and your own character and your gifts and skills and capacity of life. Maybe it's about the level of influence that you have. You've been at one place of influence, but guess what? You're going somewhere. God's going to lift it. God's going to increase the influence that's on your life. Maybe it's just about serving God and you've been in one dimension, but now God says, I want to use you in another way. Start talking about the fact that you're going places. Start talking about promotion in your life. Start talking about the next step for your life. Start talking about advancement, how God's going to use you. Start speaking the vision that God's going to make a difference through your life. Well, there was a second part to this. And he said this, he says, all that I command you, you shall speak. By the way, these people aren't, negative. They're just going to get ready to get baptized. So, so yay God for that. Look forward to celebrating that in a few minutes. All that I command you, you shall speak. Start talking about, and here's the way I'd like to say it, what you have to offer. You know, when we don't think we have anything to offer, we're not going to speak. Start talking about what you have to offer. Start acknowledging the gifts that are in your life. Start acknowledging the amazing story of how Jesus has changed you. Start talking about how God's going to provide for you, how you're an ambassador for Christ. You know, Israel was about to go to war and God was preparing them for this battle. And look what was spoken over them in Joel chapter 3 and verse 10. He says, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. And then he says this, let the weakling say, I'm excused. No, let the weakling say, I'm strong. I'm strong. He says, start making some weapons. Stop speaking to your limitations and speak to your vision. I'm strong. I'm a warrior. I'm a fighter. I can do this. You know, there are many times in life where we just need to pick up a warrior attitude and not settle for an I am weak confession. We just need to pick up a fighting spirit about us over the things that we're dealing with in our world. And as long as you're talking about your present situation and reinforcing it with your words, you're just going to stay there. It's when you speak your vision that God can bring it to pass and that he can fulfill it. How you speak your vision instead of your limitation is what's going to change your world. You say, well, how do I do that? You fill your heart with the promises of God. You start getting the word inside of your heart and that speaks to the things that you know God wants in your life. And then you start speaking the promises instead of the circumstance. You know, and we did this in our lives. Leslie and I did our lives years ago. Man, when we were driving a junker for a car, when it broke down, we didn't go, oh, there it goes again, stupid car. No, we just said, we just thank God that there's a promise, a blessing on our life, that we are givers, and that God's going to reward that. God's going to provide for that. That's what his promise is. We just put the word in our heart rather than the situation in our heart. I had marriage in my heart before it was in my life. I had family in my heart before it was in my life. Prosperity in my heart before it was in my life. Listen, had this church in my heart when it wasn't even 100 people. And it would have been so easy in those days to talk about our limitations, but we talked about our vision. I want to encourage you, don't talk about your limitations. Talk about the vision. Talk about what God's putting in your heart for your life and believe for that. Let's stand as we take a moment of prayer. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you for this truth from your word, that our words are going to cause us to have a blessed life with many happy days. We just thank you, Father, for that truth. We thank you, Lord, for us rising up to be intentional with our words, intentional to speak faith in every circumstance, intentional to pray at all times, intentional to talk about our vision, not just our limitations. And God, I thank you that as we do that, that we release the purposes of God to come to pass. We release your hand to move on our behalf because we're people of faith who talk about what can be rather than staying with what is. We thank you, Father, that as we do that, as we engage faith in your promises, that we watch your hand move in our life with provision. We watch your hand open up doors of opportunity. I thank you, Father God, as we position our life that way, as those words are coming out of our mouth, that there's a new future for people here. Lord, there's people here that feel like, well, I think my life is kind of at a point where it's just gonna stay. And the word of the Lord to you is, no, it's not. There's advancement, there's increase, there's something new, there's a new dimension I wanna work in and through your life. Don't settle, don't buy into, this is the way it'll always be. When God is a God who says, I am new every morning and there's new things about to come into your world. And so, Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for limitation coming off of people's lives as they just believe you for the increase that you have for them in Jesus' name. You know, I want to pray one more prayer, and that is about salvation. You know, God could have accepted limitation. He could have went, well, you know, the world is messed up. The world has fallen. The world has rebelled against me. I guess it's over. I guess it's just going to be a mess from here on in. But instead, he sent a Savior named Jesus who took the sins of the world upon himself. Why? Because God doesn't buy into our limitation. Instead, he has a vision. He has a vision for your life of you being forgiven, of you having a brand new start, of whatever your past was, it's over. You're going to have a brand new beginning. And that's what happens when Jesus comes into your life. Rather than staying with your limitation, thinking, well, this is the way it is, this is the way it'll always be, this is just the kind of person I am, you can go with God's vision by simply saying yes to Jesus in your life. And when you do that, you open up a whole new world of what God has in store for you when you follow him with all your heart. With our heads bowed, I want to pray one more prayer and ask, how many here would say, Pastor, you know what? That's me you're speaking to. I want to pray and give you the opportunity to say yes to Jesus. If you're with me on that, you say, man, that speaks to me. Include me in this prayer. Could you just raise your hand to let me know that you're in on this? Include me in that prayer. I want to say yes to Jesus. I want to say yes to God's future for my life. I want to say yes to his vision. I'm not going to stick with my limitation. Doesn't matter how far you are from God. Doesn't matter how much you've failed. All the rest of it, nothing can stop Jesus from forgiving you and building a whole new world inside of your life. That's awesome. You guys can put your hands down. Let's pray with those who are praying. Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Savior of the world. I ask you to forgive me. I'm inviting you into my life as my Savior. I'm confessing you as the Lord of my life. And I thank you for the purposes of God and the destiny that you have for my life. I accept it. And I'll follow you with all of my heart. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.
Thanks again for joining us today. We're always encouraged to hear about what God is doing in your life. So if you have a story to share, send us an email at amen@celebrationedmonton.com. If you'd like more information about Celebration Church, or if you'd like to give online, check out celebrationedmonton.com.